good afternoon, Los Angeles, and all of Southern California. I'm Farley Malaris, and you're listening to Astrological Metaphysical Radio, The Phenomenon of the 80s, on KFOX 93.5 FM, your talk alternative. All right, folks. Today we're going to talk about the spirit. In fact, we're going to talk about spirit guides, the higher self, the spirit realm. Some lady wrote me a letter and said she was interested in esoteric topics. The ABCs of astrology didn't pull any mail. If we don't pull any mail soon, I'm going to probably be digging ditches. So might as well do something here to help inspire the show somehow or other. So today we're going to talk about letting the spirit guide you, which is exactly what I've been doing all weekend. I think the spirit may guide me into the gutter if I let him. But actually, this topic is really dedicated to spirit-driven individuals. Some people are so gifted, and they are so psychic, and they are so naturally intuitive. Would you believe that a lot of people like my friend Eddie Zager, too, and people like all my friends, Avery and Bruce, Roger, all of them, they're so powerful. They have such powerful psychic behavior. I get maybe it's from hanging around their friend Farley. They know that that sort of stuff exists. But you know what? I have found that people like Roger, who's a Pisces, right? And with all this stuff in Pisces, we had to do a show on spiritual awareness because that's what Pisces is all about. But the thing is that people somehow are gifted. They're born with a friend in the house with them, in the room with them, whatever. When I grew up, I was never alone. Even though I didn't have too many friends, I never really felt alone because I always felt surrounded by invisible friends. And when I got older, I saw this movie written by Tom Tryon called The Other. I don't know if you ever saw that before. It was about these two brothers, these two little boys that grew up around the house and stuff, and they hung out and did everything together. Towards the end of the movie, you finally came to the opinion and the realization that one of these kids didn't exist, that he was invisible. And that there was only just one little boy, and that the other little boy was made up. He was a spirit guide. And when I was growing up, I was like that. I was actually my name when I was growing up. I was Buddy, and he was Jim. And everywhere I went, or everywhere I did, it was always, people said, Farley, why aren't you talking to yourself? I wasn't talking to myself, I was talking to Jimmy. You know, and it was Buddy and Jimmy forever. And my mother used to wonder how I could go down in the Ratskeller in St. Louis. We had a basement, and it was loaded with all kinds of things, a pinball machine, a pool table, and a ping pong table, and my train set, which I would catch on fire without anyone knowing. I went to 5 years old, the place is burning down, but I had water, so I put it out, and me and Jimmy would play, you know, and we'd had such a great time. I really, somehow or other, I think it was a matter of survival for me. My dad is and always has been a workaholic. He just wasn't around. And when he was stressed, you know. So it wasn't the type of thing where he'd come home and go, hi, Farley, and pick you up and give you a warm, loving hug. It was more like bust into the room, break the door down, and spank you for something you didn't even know about. So it was a pretty lonely childhood. My sister was 6 years older than me. My mother was busy cooking and cleaning and doing the chores and all the stuff that moms are expected to do back in the 50s and 60s, right? And I was Farley. You know, not too many kids hung around with me. It was uncomfortable to hang around with a kid. You know, what are you supposed to say? Mom, I'm going over to Farley's house to play, right? People were a little embarrassed about this kid. So it was natural for me to seek some kind of pleasant, comfortable vibration because I'm a Leo and I like to have fun. I like to be happy. So this being just came into existence. Little Jimmy came into existence. Later on, I found out this was really Helen, but because I was trying to grow up as a little boy. Helen decided to play little boy when I was growing up. But many of you that have been listening to the show for years will know that Helen assisted me greatly when I first got on the air in 1984, although she hasn't been around the last couple years. But still, the point is that whenever I get past life readings or whenever I get regressed in my own meditations, I'm always connected with some of these people in history, sometimes even in the Bible, that were spirit-driven. And that's, a lot of you out there are also spirit-driven. Now, there are people out there that are not driven by the spirit. If a guy comes home, kicks the door open, and spanks his kid, I hope the spirit didn't drive him to do that, right? But on the other hand, if somebody also maybe needs the beer or the wine or the shot of whiskey every day or the cigarettes or the pot or the Coke or the TV or the cookies or whatever it is, to make them happy, we're not going to call that spirit-driven. I didn't need much. When I went to school, when I came home, wherever I went, Jimmy was always there, at home, at night, in bed with me. I mean, this was a kid that was always talking to me, clear as you could talk to me, always hear the voice in my head, never ever shared it with anyone, because I knew, even though I was 4 and 5, I knew they'd say, you are crazy. So what I did was I waited till I was alone, and I played. Downstairs, my mother would say, oh, Farley has so much fun downstairs. After school, he plays in the Rascaler for hours. And I'd be laughing and running around with this kid like a wild Indian. And sometimes she'd say, are you okay, honey? And I go, yeah, Mom, I'm having a great time, you know. And I'd be down there with my pal. Well, I really wasn't crazy. The thing was, is that I was a very intuitive child, a very psychic child, and I was in touch with my spirit guide at a young age. And I got metaphysical training when I was 3. I was regressed when I was 3. I saw myself in past lives. And later, when I grew older and got my astrology chart done, and Donna Roberts gave me a reading and confirmed all this psychic ability, the Scorpio moon, Venus in Cancer, 12th house, Mars conjunct Neptune. Can you imagine the planet of life force? Those of you that have Mars conjunct Neptune in your chart, God bless you, because that is probably the most psychic aspect I have ever seen. Neptune is the planet that is Lord of Pisces. It is the Piscean vibration. Even though Neptune might not be in Pisces at a given moment, like when I was born, Neptune was in Libra, and everybody for a 16-year period that was born with Mars in Libra, close to Neptune, had that same gift that I had, tremendous psychic ability. And then, of course, Neptune went into Scorpio, and all the generation that was born with Mars, Neptune, and Scorpio had that ability. Then Neptune and Sag, and then whenever kids born with Mars and Sag with Neptune, they had that ability. Oftentimes, any planet close to Neptune in a conjunction to Neptune, like, except for Saturn and maybe now Uranus, okay? Usually if you have Venus, the Sun, or the Moon, or Mars in conjunct with your Neptune in your chart, with Neptune actually being a planet in the sky, astronomically speaking, and a conjunction means they're in alignment. Remember when you heard that song, The Age of Aquarius, when the moon is in the seventh house and Jupiter aligns with Mars? Sounds like somebody got an astrology reading and they just took their reading and said, well, the moon's in the seventh house and you have Jupiter conjunct Mars. But the truth is that the alignment means that Mars is located in Libra, and then a couple of billion miles back there behind it, there's Neptune, right in a straight line from the Earth. That's a conjunction. And usually when you're born with that type of aspect, with a Neptunian conjunction in your chart, not only does it help you become more psychic and more intuitive, but it's a part of your personality that allows you to become more transdimensional, more translucent, and more in touch with what is going on beyond the Earth. So obviously the perspective that I had of life as a child was very dreamy, sometimes translucent or incongruous sort of sensitivity, where whatever I saw and learned on Earth was something I never really accepted right off, unless the spirit said, cool. Unless Jimmy said, that's cool. Like when I went to get a shot, like they lined us up for the polio shots in the elementary school, and I was so in touch with what was going on and all the fear and anxiety of hundreds of kids in line, one at a time, every one of us watching the kid in the front of the line getting that shot in their arm, from 6 years old up to 12, I was at the end of the line. My spirit guides are there going, Farley, don't worry about this. This is going to be no problem. By the time I got there, I was one of two kids that fainted because I was so sensitive to the ether of what was going on. First of all, I didn't think it was right that they line all those kids up and give them polio shots in front of the other. They should have taken us into a room or something. But the anxiety was so intense that, and I found out how utterly sensitive I am. And the point of today's topic, more than ever, is to let you know that I am aware that there are those of you out there that are also just as sensitive. Even though the rest of society and the rest of America, even your own family, like your dad, you know, maybe you had one of those kick in the door, spank you type dads who didn't hug you and kiss you as much as you wanted to. But can you imagine having a dad like Farley? You know, if I had a son and he was gifted with this sensitivity and had a spirit guide, oh, would I help him develop that puppy, huh? I sometimes wonder what my true potential in life would have been had I been raised by astrological, metaphysically conscious parents. But not being raised by those kind of parents, I was put into a situation of serve or suffer, of live or die, of survive or death. It's like either completely go insane or find something out there to help you succeed and be happy. So, for a long time, I'd always been in touch with my guides, over a dozen of them, American Indians, Aztec Indians, extraterrestrials. I got this one guy named Eon. It's so difficult for him to come into the earth plane to even see me from where he's at. It takes this guy about a week to get through to me, and I really have to beckon him to come through if I want this. But once he does come through, look out for a Jesus Christ type experience. What I have found in my life, and I've had my problems, I had my self-destructive behavior. Let's face it, I lived with one of my best friends back in the 70s, a bartender. After I had my divorce, when you live with a bartender, you wake up, the guy says, what can I fix you? You know, what a Bloody Mary, what a margarita. So I don't live with a bartender anymore. But the thing is that we become so sensitive and so vulnerable, and we become so intuitive, where we feel all this fear and all this anxiety and all this, just people scared to death. I can't even go into a movie and sit in a group where there's a lot of people around me, because if there's people in my aura, even a woman who has an infection, or a man who's got a marital problem, or a gay guy or a gay girl who's got a relationship problem, I'll be sitting there trying to watch a movie and feel this alien emotion where I'll say, why am I so I'm just squirming like a duck here. What is going on here? And it's just that we do have this sensitivity, and many of us that do have this Neptunian factor, this Neptunian conjunction, maybe you have a Neptunian trine or a Neptunian sextile, or maybe you just load it with Pisces or 12th house planets. That'll do it too. But you will have an injection of this vulnerability that if you don't get on top of right away, and let me tell you something, I was raised in the hippie generation. Everybody was smoking pot, taking acid, snorting coke, taking ups and downs, everywhere. In the University of Missouri and every college I knew about in the 60s and early 70s, right during the heat of Vietnam, where guys were scared to death that the next day in the mail they'd get their draft notice, or they'd be dead a week later or whatever in boot camp or NOM. You think the kids are scared today? The kids back then, we were growing up, were so frightened. But those of us that had this gift, this power, right? You are also vulnerable to running away from it if you're not given the proper conditioning. And that is why so many of our most wonderful people, gifted people, people that you know that we love, people that we stay in relationships with when we know they have a severe alcoholic problem, or a marijuana addiction, or a Quaalude addiction, or whatever. You know, they are wonderful, loving people, and sometimes we don't give up on them or ourselves because we know they have this gift. But what they do is they run from it. They run from the spirit, and they veil it. They put a veil over the spirit, and they hide it, and they don't care to share with anyone their feelings. They want to seem cool. So instead of being psychic or vulnerable or sensitive or in touch with their higher selves or with their spirit guides or whatever, they use altered states of consciousness, and they destroy that connection, that block. That's why I lost Jim for a while. When I went through college, and when it got scary, and when I realized that I really didn't get all the love and affection and emotion that I really felt I deserved, because I was selfish, I was hungry for it, I did try alternate states of consciousness, and I did become alteredly conscious, and Jimmy was gone, and so was Helen. Then something happened. I got married. And I made a bad decision. I married the wrong person. And I made some bad decisions with business and with my friends and people I hung out with and people that influenced me because there was no spirit to guide me. When I was growing up, I was happy. I wasn't nervous because Jimmy was there. I didn't have drugs or alcohol around. I was a happy little boy. When I was by myself, I had that spirit to drive me and to sort of advise me and consult with me. And I felt calm. And then I lost it. And then when I went through the trauma of gaining all that weight and then going through a scandalous divorce and being lost in love and traumatized with a perforated ulcer and almost dying, and I had no choice but to seek that spirit again. In 1976, I went into Donna Roberts to get that astrological reading. Astrology, something I never really thought much about. I'm a Leo. I thought it was cool. I'm into sun signs. It's great. What do you mean Mercury in the fifth house? I didn't want to hear that. But I went to Donna Roberts. I sat down with her, one of the world's greatest astrologers. She doesn't really practice anymore, so don't ask me for her number. But she blew me away because I'd never met anyone in my whole life that knew Farley Malaris like Farley did. And all she had to go on was my date, time, and city of birth. And that was it. My date, time, and city of birth And she had that chart of my planets, and she was able to explain to me why it was the way it was. And it blew me away. This is after lots of therapy and group and Buddhism, Zen Buddhism, and Hinduism, whatever ism, you know, Christian ethic, Jewish ethic. I went through everything, and nothing gave me any answers. I could not find that spirit. I lost. And then I got that astrology reading, and just so happens the same week, I took up Transcendental Meditation, and there he was. There was, and in fact, it wasn't Jim anymore. It was Helen. It was Eon. It was all of them. And they said, "Where have you been, Farley? We've been right here with you the whole time. You just couldn't see us." I don't do anything in my life without that help, without seeking the guidance of my guides that are always in my aura, of my main spirit guides that are always on my shoulder, of my higher self that is just beyond that reach. So this show is dedicated to those of you that are spirit-driven like Farley. You know, I don't do anything anymore. I don't go out on dates. I don't make love to anyone. I don't buy a car or move into an apartment or look at a condo or buy a boat or anything unless they say it's cool. And you know what? It's not something that is difficult to find, because if it's not cool, you feel that knot in your stomach. They go to your stomach chakra and they go, you know, "We're going to make you a little uncomfortable about what you're about to do with this young lady here. This young lady is not the one you want to be." And that's why since 1976, for the last 13 years, I don't have any regrets. And I don't feel any guilt. And I don't have any real pain like I did before that. Because I was really born in 1976 when I reconnected with the spirit and astrology and meditation and my higher self and my guides. And I was able to finally get some guidance without being so scared. I wasn't going to get it from my family, and I wasn't getting it from my friends, so I needed to seek another source to explain life and help guide me through it. And that's why I found out that reaching for the spirit, asking for the spirit, giving yourself permission for it, recognizing and accepting that it is there for your uses, and following it, allowing yourself to be spirit-driven, whether you have the Neptunian or Piscean connection or not, you all have the God spark within. You all have messianic qualities and capabilities. You all have the power of God inside of you to reach beyond and form a relationship with the spirit, the tangible, the intangible, and allow it to guide you. You want to buy a house? You need to call me up and ask about your career. You don't know about your career? You don't know about that gut ache and stomach ache you get every day when you go into work? You don't know about your relationships? Where you go into that relationship every day, you wake up in the morning and you're scared. You know what's happening? Your guides are freaked. They can't believe that you allow yourself to go through this pain any longer. You know, when you are spirit-driven into situations, you are driven into those situations for a reason, for a lesson, for an experience, for an evolution. Doesn't mean you have to spend the rest of your life there. Hey, you're supposed to be with this woman for 5 years, Farley. Then you're supposed to be with this one for a year. Then you're supposed to be with this one for 2 years. And I don't have any regrets or guilt about it. They're like mini marriages, but I had growth and evolution and experience from each relationship I was spiritually driven to connect with. And that's the way I run my life, and it works. On the way here, I thought to myself, what kind of topic could I possibly do to inspire my audience? And I don't care that we don't have any calls today, because I know you're out there listening and you're relaxing. If you don't call, I'll just keep talking all show and give announcements as to how to support the show, and if you're inspired, maybe you will. So I'm not going to even give the numbers out. But the point is that it's my job, it's my mission to offer a grain of love, a grain of light, and a grain of happiness, hope, consciousness, and enlightenment. And I know that a lot of you are addicted to this show because you know that at least every day I don't kick the door open and spank you. I do try to pick you up and pamper you and cuddle you and nurture you, and trance you out with a charismatic voice and a sweet message. If I'm in a good mood, if my Scorpio moon is cool, the message is well received. If I'm ticked off, then everyone in the whole city knows it. But I'm just tired of having the doors kicked open on me. I'm going to do a speech this Wednesday at an elementary school in, gosh, I should get the name of it. Maybe some of you want to come. I don't know. I doubt if there's room. It's on 163rd Street in Vermont. It's a Catholic school. And I'm doing a speech there for the children, 300 children that have been listening to a tape that I did about how important reading is. They don't know it yet, but I'm going to read a comic book when I come up there in front of all of them and blow their minds. Now, I love children. I love these children. And I thought to myself, you know what? I don't have any children. I'm not married. So I'm going to do something for children while I'm alive. And it's reading. It's teaching them how to read. Because I don't have the choice to kick a door open and spank a child. So what I'm going to try to do is give them a little love and light. And you know what blows my mind? I want to share something with you. I called my dad this morning. And I said, Dad, I'm going to be giving a lecture to 300 kids on Wednesday morning at 9 o'clock, 163rd Street in Vermont. Would you like to come and see me? And he said, no, Farley, I'm too busy. I have work. It just blows my mind. Here I am 40 years old and nothing's really changed. But I've got Jimmy and he's got me. And I'm spirit-driven and I feel the love and light on this planet and it's powerful. I bask in it. And if I was supposed to survive off of other kinds of love and support that millions of other kids also lack, I wouldn't have made it. But see, I can feel the oneness of God that exists on this planet. And it might not be readily available within some of my close relationships, but at least it's there. And I know it's there, and that's what guides me, the Spirit of God in this dimension, in this universe, in this realm. So once in a while, I like to share a personal part of my life with you and let you see what it's all about. I should have a son that would grow up and lecture to kids on reading. I'd be there. You better believe I'd be there to see that kid do that. In fact, I'd probably cry. Okay, welcome to Astrological Metaphysical Radio, 93.5 FM KFOX in Redondo Beach. In case you just tuned in, I'm Farley Malaris, and thanks to a miracle of God, we have been here on KFOX going on 5 years, April 16th. I'm in another dimension anyway, you know that. I'm not really here. Okay, welcome to the show. We're ready to go to the phones now. Sometimes I never know what I'm going to talk about when I'm on the air, but sometimes it blows my mind what comes out of this mouth sometimes. Sometimes I need to have therapy, for sure. But suffice it to say that my guides and my higher self all participate in production of this show, and they're the ones that help organize the topic. I always reach towards the spirit before I get on the air and allow it to flow through me when I'm on the air, and that's how I teach. See? So what comes across the radio is not only stuff that you might need to hear on that given day, it's also stuff that I might need to hear in that given day. And I think a lot of you with Neptunian trines and sextiles are conjunctions to those planets I talked about, needed to hear this show so you could understand your gift that much easier. Okay?